Well, let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Not much good happens without prayer, so let's pray right now. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in the earth, for many, many changed lives. And Father, we just pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would do a work in our lives. I ask you, Father, that you would help me to speak your word boldly. Lord, to say exactly what you'd have me to. And I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear, that we might walk in all that you have for us and bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Well, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson decided that they would get a break and go camping. And so they set up their tent, went to sleep, and sometime in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes says to Watson, he says, "Watson, wake up, open your eyes, look up and tell me what you see." He said, "I see millions of beautiful stars in the sky. And I suppose that in all those millions and millions of stars, that surely there must be some other planets out there like ours. And so there could even be life on some of those planets." And Sherlock Holmes says, "Watson, you idiot, our tent is gone." Sometimes when we are looking for these really, really deep things, we miss the most obvious, simple truths of the Scripture and of this life that we are called to live. And so this morning, we're going to talk about something simple. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 if you have your Bible. It is a verse that we hear often, and yet there is a short little phrase in there that sometimes we just kind of gloss over and don't really think about. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new." But I want you to see this key phrase here. If any man be in Christ. See, that's where we are, a new creation. It is in Christ. All through the New Testament, you see this key phrase, in Christ. You see, it's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we have the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Romans 6:11 says, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ." It's through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1, "There's therefore now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ." And I'm telling you, so many powerful principles, so many great blessings in the Scripture for those who are in Christ. So are you in this morning? You know, here's something that you need to consider, that either you are or you aren't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You're either all in or you're not in at all. You can't be just kind of partway in. We need to be all in with Christ. What does it really mean to be in Christ? It just means that our life is in Him, that we no longer have a life of our own. Now, if that sounds weird to you, I mean, if that just kind of goes against the grain of what you think in your mind, I'm telling you, it is because we're so saturated with the philosophies, the attitudes of this world around us. No, in Christ, we've given up that old life so that we can have a life in Christ, be a new creation in Christ. Colossians 3:3-4. I know some of you are going to think that what I'm talking about this morning must be some weird or deep truth, but these are actually simple truths of the gospel that too often have just kind of been brushed aside, and we need to go back to the basics and understand this life that we've been called to. So Colossians 3:3-4, he says, "For you died." Let's just stop right there. Did you know you died? You died, for you died. Here's what the Scripture says. Here's the Word of God to you this morning. For you died. Well, that ain't good news, Pastor. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because that old life, That old nature, that's a mess. And it's declaring, Paul is saying it, but remember, he is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For you died. And your life, you see, the life that you have now is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, that's where our life is. He is our life. Our life is in him. You see, when we say you died, we're talking about that old nature born in Adam's race. Every person born in Adam's race is born with a sinful nature. And when Paul says, when the scripture says, you died, that's what it's talking about. It died. Now, how many of you would say, well, my old sinful nature seems to be alive and well? Well, you know, that old nature crucified on the cross with Christ is kind of like a zombie. It just keeps trying to come back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody starts punching your buttons and all of a sudden that old nature rises up. Pretty girl walks by and that old nature rises up again. But you know what? That's why you need to know this truth, that you died. And you have a new life in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those old things have passed away in Christ. You see, that you're not that old person anymore. Christ, who is our life. It refers to the spiritual truth that our life is in him. See, to be in Christ is more than just to claim the Christian faith. You know, anybody can say that they're a Christian. But to truly be a follower of Jesus is to turn our lives over to him. It is to commit ourselves to him. It is to be all in with him. All in. You know, that phrase is used by gamblers when they put everything they have on one bet and they say, I'm all in. I mean, they have committed everything they have on this one bet, put it all on the line, I'm all in. I want you to understand there's a big difference here. When we're all in with the Lord, it's not a gamble. It's not a risk. It's a sure thing because God loves you. He's for you. Listen, you can trust him with everything you have. You can go all in with God because he's already gone all in with you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That's the God that we're committing ourselves to. That's the God that we're all in with. A lot of people seem to just want a few of the benefits of being a Christian, you know. We all want to go to heaven, right? I mean, we all want a few of the benefits, but here's the truth is that when we're all in, we get it all. It all is for us. And I'm telling you, nobody ever went all in with God and regretted it. But Jesus always calls people to a total commitment. It's amazing how people water down the scripture today. I know of a church where they say, okay, well, we know the Bible teaches that you should tithe 10%, but we got a deal for you. You know, if you're comfortable with 1%, just start with 1%. You know, I thought, well, you know, we could mail out coupons to the community. Hey, if your church is making you tithe the whole thing, come here, we'll give you a 50% discount. I'm just using this. I'm not talking about money this morning. I'm just using this as an example of how we water down the gospel and we cheapen the call of Jesus when he says, follow me. Now, you see, Jesus loved everybody. He ministered to everybody. He healed people. He set people free. He did what he could. But he never begged anybody to follow him. And he never tried to make it easy for him to follow him. He said, you got to count the cost. And to follow Jesus required an all-in commitment. That's what it's all about, to be all-in. It's about a commitment. And commitment is really about trust. And you can trust him. Nothing held back. Jesus went all in for us. He gave his all. 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all of us. Every person who has received of God's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus has been called. He said that we no longer live for ourselves. We're not living for ourselves anymore. This is not just for missionaries and maybe some preacher who's given his life to serving full time. This is for every born again, blood washed Christian, that we are called to no longer live for ourselves. We owed a debt that we could never pay, and Jesus paid that debt, and we owe him a life of gratitude and service and our very lives themselves. Are you really living for him? Are you just adding a little Jesus to your life? He wants all of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we looked at this verse last week. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying, considering all that God has done for us, the mercies of God, the reasonable thing for us to do is to make ourselves living sacrifices, that we are living for him. That's going all in. I know that to religious people, people in this world, that sounds a little extreme. Talking about that you died and going all in and being a living sacrifice. That sounds extreme. Like, well, that just is for a few nutty people. But I'm telling you, this is where that real life is. This is where you get free from all that old stuff of the world. This is where you get free from that old nature and you begin to live as the new creation in Christ that God created you to be. Luke 9:24, Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, when he's saying this, he's not just talking about physically dying. If you try to save your life, well, you're going to die. He's talking about yourself. You see, you try to save yourself, you know, the world talks about you got to find yourself. You don't need to find yourself. You need to find Jesus. You see, we need to find out who we are in Christ. We need to be who God created us to be. And Jesus says that if you hang on to that old life, you lose it. But if you lose it for my sake and the gospel's, he says, then you'll find life. Jesus, who promises us abundant life. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come to call people to some new religion. He wasn't trying to start a religion. He came to give us real life, abundant life. And when we lose our life for his sake, when we just turn it over to him, I tell you, that's where we find real life. If you want to play it safe, Jesus is not the one you want. If you want a comfortable religion, Jesus is not really the one you want. There's a lot of Christian versions of that out there, but I'm telling you, Jesus is not really what you want. If you want to keep it all, you know, keep your faith and all that, kind of keep it in perspective, Jesus is not the one you want, because Jesus always expects all in from us. See, religion says, make God part of your life. But the scripture says, Christ, who is our life. Is he a part of your life, or is he your life? But what it really comes down to is an all-out commitment. That you're just willing to turn it all over to him, that you trust him with everything. You're willing to put your whole life in his hands, your hopes, your dreams, your future, your career, your finances, your friends, your family. You trust him with it all. You put it all in his hands. It's easy to do that as long as we talk about it in general terms. See, we can say, oh yeah, I commit everything to God. But when we start talking about specific areas of our life, those things that are dearest to us, then sometimes it gets difficult. And here's how you can tell if you're really all in. Are you willing to trust him with your career? Would you give it up for him? Are you willing to trust him with your friends? Would you give them up if he asked you to? Are you willing to trust God with your plans, your dreams? Would you give them up if he asked you to? You say, well, the Lord wouldn't ask me to do that. Did you know sometimes he does? We need to keep the right mindset about this morning. We're talking about the God who loves you. We're talking about the God who sent his son to die for you. How much more will he not graciously along with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. We're talking about a God who has your best interest at heart. And if he asks you to give something up, he asks you to do something that you don't want to do, you can know this, that it's going to be all right, that it's going to turn out good, that he's on your side. He's not against you. It's amazing how some people think if they really serve God, if they really go all in with God, they're going to, you know, they're not going to have any fun anymore. They're going to be miserable. Just waiting to get to heaven, because life will no longer be any fun if we're all in with God. And I'm telling you, the exact opposite is true. Jesus came to give us abundant life. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How Satan has played this deception again and again and again ever since Adam and Eve, when he tried to convince Eve that God was cheating them out of something good. And Christians still have that mindset today, that if I go all in with God, I'm going to miss out on some fun and some things that I want to do. What a lie and what a deception. He's the one that wants to give us abundant life. He's the one that wants to give us the very best kind of life. It's in Christ. I want to give you a couple of examples of where God asked someone to give something up. And I'm not telling you that God's going to tell you to give up something this morning, but I'm telling you this, that we need to be willing to put it all on the altar. We need to be willing to turn our very lives over to him. He told Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, the one you believed for 25 years. That's a long time to pray for a son. The one that I promised you. The miracle that finally came. I want you to take him. And I want you to take him up on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. How bizarre and how strange and how extreme. But Abraham was willing to do exactly that. And in obedience, he took his son Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him to God. And you know how he could do such a thing? How could he be all in like that? Because he trusted God so much that he knew if he did it, God would raise him from the dead. He trusted God so much that no matter what God told him to do, he knew that he could do it, that it was going to be all right. He wanted Abraham to make that choice that God is truly first and to not hold anything back from him, that he trusted him. And I believe that God still wants the same thing from us, that we know that we can trust him and not hold anything back from him, that he's always for us, he's not against us, he wants to bless us. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be all in, you got to be willing to make that kind of a commitment to God. Do you know, as long as you're not sold out to God, the devil will always have an inroad into your life to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. To be all in means you hold nothing back. If you hold something back, whatever that is, will always hold you back. It'll hold you back in the blessings that God has for you. It'll hold you back in the plan and the purpose of God being fulfilled in your life. It'll hold you back in your influence and impact and what you could do in ministry. You hold anything back from God, I'm telling you, it'll hold you back. Mark 10, 17 through 22, here's another example from Scripture where God asked somebody to give something up. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he answered, he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Now think about this. This guy's known as the rich young ruler. Little rich snot, born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And some of us certainly wouldn't have loved him. We would have thought, privileged punk. Come on. Some of us wouldn't have liked this guy. But Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Jesus knew that this guy had a problem. He had a weakness. He was in bondage. And he loved him. And I want you to know that God loves you. And if he asks you to put something on the altar, if he asks you to lay something on the line or to be willing to do something, you need to remember that he loves you. Jesus looked at him and loves him. And here he speaks the truth to him that would set him free if he would receive it. He says, "One thing you lack, go sell. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want to tell you this morning that the Lord does not mind if you have stuff. Jesus says that your life does not consist of your stuff. The Lord doesn't mind if you have money. He just doesn't want money to have you. Money makes a terrible god. By the way, there's a lot of good things in this life that make terrible gods. That's why we have to be willing to be all in, to turn it all over to him. This guy had great possessions. He thought he had too much to lose. He did. He had it all wrong, though. It was all of the riches in Christ, all that is available to us in Christ, is too much to lose. We got to be all in. We got to be willing to turn it all over to him. Let him have his way in our life. I remind you one more time, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is God who wants to give you abundant life. I don't know what the Lord might ask of you. I leave that between you and him, but remember this. He doesn't want anything between you and him. What would you not do for God? what would you hold back from Him? Is there a line somewhere that you draw on the Lord and you say, okay, God, anything, but I'm not doing this? No, we got to be all in. Back to Mark chapter 10, just a few verses later, after this rich young ruler goes his way sad, Peter says to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. They really had. You know, sometimes Peter just seems to mouth off stuff, you know. He says things that, well, I think were more emotion than truth maybe. But in this instance, he was speaking the truth because they had left their family, their home, their jobs. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. And here's Jesus' response. He says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, I just want to clarify to you, first of all, when Jesus says, you know, if you left your house, you're going to receive 100-fold. I don't know that that's going to make you a real estate mogul. And he mentioned wife in there. I don't know if the Lord's going to give you 100 wives. I think that's getting a little bit silly with the understanding and interpretation of what he's talking about. But know this, this is the God, this is the word through which the worlds were spoken into being, and this is Jesus speaking here, and he makes this fantastic promise that whatever we have given up, whatever we have laid on the line for him, he says, nobody has given it up for my sake that will not receive 100-fold in this life. I'm telling you, he makes this fantastic promise to us, and it is absolutely true. When we put it all on the line for Jesus, we enjoy a life of abundance, of blessing. You know, he talks about the most precious relationships that you have in life. And it's amazing how that when we really put our lives on the line and do what God wants us to do, that He blesses our relationships and He brings people into our lives. I'm just telling you, God's not trying to rip you off. It's not a gamble. And you can trust Him to go all in with Him and turn it all over to Him. Those disciples, all but Judas, gave it all up and followed him to the end of their very life. They were tortured, they suffered, they were put to death. It's one of the greatest evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that not one of them ever recanted, not a single word, none of them ever went back. After the decades passed, they still held to the exact same testimony and witness from the very beginning. They were all in to the very end. And if we believe what they believed, we ought to be all in every day of our life for Jesus. He deserves that. He's worthy of that. You know, the Apostle Paul was not one of the 12. His name was originally Saul. He was this religious Pharisee, and he persecuted the church. He even took part in some of them being put to death. But one day on the road to Damascus, he had a great vision, and God spoke to him. And Paul said these words. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm telling you, from that point forward, this man was all in for God. Lord, what would you have me to do? Those are some pretty great words to pray every morning. Lord, what would you have me to do? Just remember, if your prayer life sounds like you're giving God His instructions for the day, you need to turn it around. Lord, what would you have me to do? He was all in. Galatians 2:20, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, this is scripture, this is the word of God to us. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. You say, boy, this sounds really deep, preacher. I'm telling you, this is the simple truth of the gospel that needs to be taught and preached, and how we've lost this in our generation. We need to go back to the truth of the gospel. I've been crucified with Christ. That old man is dead on the cross with Christ. We're not trying to make that old man a little better. He's dead on the cross with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not us that's living anymore, but Christ lives in me. You got to be all in. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. That's being a new creation in Christ, as when he lives in you. Paul gave it all up to truly follow Jesus. And think about this. Paul had a lot to give up. You see, this man that we know as the Apostle Paul was an educated man. He was high up in his religion. He was respected. He had prestige and power, a lot of pride. He had so much. But he gave it all up for Jesus. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, it says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I want you to hear me now. You see, in this passage here, he talks about loss. And we don't like the sound of that. We don't like the sound of saying, giving something up. But understand this, that when you lose something for God, when you give something up, he says, I count it all as garbage that I may gain Christ. What we gain is so much better. What we gain is full of life, abundant life. When we give something up, I'm telling you, most of the time, it is us getting free. Saul become Paul. He was finally free from all of that old religious bondage, all of that old pride, and all that old junk that kept him bound for so many years. And I'm telling you that most of the time when we give something up, we just get free. It's a total commitment to be all in. But yet sometimes we struggle to trust God completely. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Trust him. Don't hold anything back from him. When we trust him, he always makes us glad we did. You see, he can bless us beyond what we can even imagine. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. 1 Corinthians 2:9, we read this verse many times in the context of thinking about heaven, but it's not just about heaven. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It's a great truth that we need to understand, that God has things prepared and planned for us better than we can even imagine. Joys and victories, peace, blessings, things that we can't even imagine that are available to us in Christ. I want to challenge you today to go all in with him, to truly live your life in Christ. Here's what it means to be all in with Christ. You take a blank sheet of paper as a contract between you and God, and you just sign your name at the bottom and you give it to Him. Now, my dad was an attorney, and so I was taught never to sign anything until I read it. You know why? Because in this wicked world, a lot of the time you can't trust people. They say one thing and do another. You can't trust people. But I know that I can trust God. I don't have to know the details of everything that He's going to ask of me or tell me to do. I know that He loves me and I can trust Him, and I'm willing to sign my name on any line for Him. You see, a lot of people kind of have it backwards today. They talk about how God just gives you a blank check, but He's already signed it. You just do what you want. It's not in the Bible. That's not what His name is for. His name is to accomplish His will and His purpose in your life. It's not for us just to do our thing and do what we want. No, they got it backwards. We're here to do His thing and to do His will and do what He wants. And I want to challenge you, encourage you this morning. You can sign your name on the line. You can turn your life over to God. You can know that He is not going to do you wrong ever, that He will bless you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll bless you with relationships. He'll bless you with good people in your life. Yeah, there's going to be some challenges. Yeah, there's going to be some great battles, some difficult times, some times of persecution or suffering. But I'm telling you that God will bring you through. You'll never regret being all in with God, the one who loves you most. Amen. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You for Your great love, that You love us so much. And I thank You, Father, that You always have what's best in mind for us, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would help us to take hold of this truth this morning and truly live a life in Christ. In Christ. We find ourselves in Him. Help us, Lord, to lay aside the things that hinder and bind us up, slow us down. And help us, Father, this morning to put those things, even the dearest things, on the altar today and trust You that You might have Your way in our lives. Father, I just pray for those that are struggling this morning. I pray, Lord, that You would give them strength. I pray, Father, that faith would come in their heart to trust You more. Lord, have Your way in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.